Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome back to Fellowship Talks. Thanks for joining us today. It is so good to have you with us today. And my name is Dan Schaefer. I'm seated here with the best co-host I've ever worked with, Amy Scrivanos.
Hi, everybody.
Amy, we are sitting here on Saturday morning of Dwell. And we just went through the Friday night sessions. Aaron Williams and Aaron Keyes was on stage. And, you know, I just wanted to share real quick just something that stuck out to me. One of the first things that Aaron Williams said when he jumped up on the stage was divine disturbances. And for those of you who know me out there in fellowship, you know that I'm a pretty organized person, pretty structured, pretty planned out person. And so I found myself throughout Dwell praying for those divine disturbances and for places where I could have eyes to see those divine disturbances to stop and talk with people. We also, Amy, had a chance to walk around the plaza after the sessions last night and talk to some of the attenders of Dwell. And we captured some of their thoughts, just asking them what God was doing in their hearts through these sessions of Dwell. So guys, listen to what some of you had to say about Dwell. Tell me in two or three sentences what God's doing in your heart after Dwell tonight.
Just being able to really focus on God and just me and Him.
I think I'm really excited to go for the rest of the time to hear about God equipping people and really just making an impact so that everybody is living in their true identity instead of just kind of this lukewarm life that seems to be most of Christian living.
Really, I'm ready to just get home and truthfully just dive into the scripture and have some conversations with my wife and figure out, you know, kind of what is the identity that He's calling us and see where we go from here. So we're excited.
I think it was from the last lesson where He talked about authority and identity and how easy it is for us to believe Satan's lies, even though he has no authority, and the authority that Christ has, and just really want to dig into the lies that I've believed so that I can push them out.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really enjoyed Aaron Keyes and identity and the lies we believe and the truth, what God calls us and the names that He gives us. So I'm definitely wrestling through and thinking through that.
One thing that God is doing is impressing on me who He says I am, not just who I feel like I am or on any given day, but who He calls me by name, that I'm child of God, an heir of the kingdom, loved by God, those things more than my own feelings about myself.
God's just reminding me how much that He wants me to spend time with Him, not with any agenda, but just primarily to show up and listen to Him, which frankly has been hard for me to do.
God's just reminding me to search myself and really try to determine and ask God to tell me what He thinks I am, rather than what I think others think I am or what I think I am.
God's been stirring in me that He does love me and I am loved, and that my identity is not in the people I am loving, but my identity is in Him who loves me.
He is teaching me how to look more introspectively at myself than I probably have ever.
The teaching was incredible, and this idea of being deceived in our identity is really resonating with me. And so tonight's going to be fun to go home. Well, maybe fun, maybe difficult, but to just kind of unpack this with my wife and talk through the teachings tonight. I'm really excited about that.
Tonight, I just really felt the Holy Spirit's presence when we were worshiping. So I'm just really feeling filled up by God and the Holy Spirit. So it just kind of just makes me feel very loved and ready for tomorrow.
He's making me think about some things that I need to do to get closer to Him.
Wow, that was so good. Isn't it refreshing to take this time out of our busy lives and just spend a couple of days focusing on the Lord? And we're looking forward to another great day today as we hear from Glenn Packiam and Bob Goff.
That's right. That's right. And we have Bob Goff in studio with us today before he goes up on stage. So, Bob, welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks a million. I'm just looking forward to the day ahead and great to start it with you too.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for being here. So, Bob, I think a lot of our listeners know who you are. They've probably read your book, Love Does. But for those who don't know you, Could you just tell us a little bit about you, your family, what you're passionate about? Just help us get to know you.
Oh, yeah, totally. So I'm married to sweet Maria Goff. She is just terrific, and we could not be more different. She's so quiet and like just introverted. And
so I noticed that you called her Sweet Marie in your book.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody does. Everybody, Milkman does. It's not like we're trying to talk her into it. She just, if you met her, you just go like, oh, wow, that's like actually you. And unlike me, she actually kind of knows like who she is. She knows what she's about. She knows what her purpose is. And so I think for me, as growing up, I was like all over the map with that. I'm starting to get more and more clarity on that. And one of the people God gave me to do that was Sweet Maria. Mm. She's like, yeah. That's it. I think we all want the same thing, love and connection and purpose. And then to get there, this authenticity and the idea of some of these divine disturbances that Aaron Williams was talking about, that might be one of the things to get there. You know, sometimes it would be a funeral that gets our attention. Sometimes it's a first date that will get our attention.
That's right.
But these things that kind of disrupt the timeline, and to say, well, look, wow, that became this moment. And I'm trying to have just more of those. I'm not trying to gin them up, but I just want to actually see the ones that are happening in my life and in the lives of the people around us. And so it all starts with like figuring out who you are. And I'm a pretty happy guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. We can tell that.
I'm also a trial lawyer, which cracks me up. Like, I'm the only guy trying a $100 million case with a Mickey Mouse watch. All the other guys have Rolexes. I'm like, nah. So when I'm having kind of a bad day, I just look at Mickey's face. I'm like, if he's smiling, I'm smiling.
I love that.
So I'm not trying to fake it, but just know who God made you to be, and then stop being like each other. Because if you want to be like Jesus, it's got to be way more important to us to be like that than like each other. And what happens in our faith communities is this thing, I'm sure when like God was resting on the seventh day, Satan came up with this idea of comparison. And we spend all this time looking at everybody else and what they're doing. And Maria said it so beautifully in her book. She just said, keep your eyes on your own paper. And that idea to just not watch what other people are doing and not even try to get on the same page. I think you ought to get on your page. Mm-hmm. And then we can staple these pages together, but not trying to be the same. We're trying to be Jesus. And I think all together we make one really well-adjusted person, don't you? But it takes all of us. You're the happy person, serious. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I spent some time with Aaron Keyes yesterday.
Oh, good man.
And he asked me if we were doing a podcast today. And I said, yeah, we were. We're doing the podcast with Bob Goff. And he said, oh, I did a podcast with Bob Goff one time. And he said, I've never met anybody like him.
Oh, so, he's really kind. He's a good guy.
Yeah. So I was reading through your book, Love Does, and you're a storyteller. You tell different stories for every chapter of the book, just kind of relating your stories to who God is and how God relates to us. Which one of those stories that you told was your favorite?
Oh, I think there's one. I'll tell you about this, writing this book. This will be this primer. Have you guys written a book just yet?
Nope.
Get started. Literally. Just I'll send myself 60 emails every day, right? I'm like, him again, block. But I'll just write down the things I'm thinking about because I usually don't have time to spin that out in my mind and check it against scripture like Paul said to. But I'll write them down a word or two. And then I'll like revisit it later the next morning. And I'll say, no, it sounded right. Is it actually true? And these stories will pop to mind. When I was writing these stories down, actually Thomas Nelson said, would you write a book? And I'm like, I don't know. Will you build a school? I'll trade you. One book, one school.
That's awesome.
And they said, tell me about the school. And there's like 1,000 kids at the school in northern Uganda. They're like child soldiers and the offspring of. And so they came up and visited the school. They're like, big school. I said, big book. Wow. And I made them pay me in advance. I didn't know if it'd be any good. And so one of the things that I would do, I'd write a chapter and I would send it to my friend, Don Miller. Do you know him? Have you read his stuff?
Yes.
I love that guy. So I would send it to him. And if he liked the chapter, he would write back one word in he'd just say finale. I don't even know why. He just said finale meant it's in. And if it was horrible, if it was totally lousy chapter, he'd say, Maria's going to love this. So I got 30 finales back from Don. I turned it in to Thomas Nelson, and they wrote on the top of two chapters, they said, I don't get it. I'm like, your mama doesn't get it. I got a finale from Don Miller. Like, but instead of being like old Bob, which would be really prideful and you know, arrogant about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. What I did, I was just said I took him out. And what I do, I don't calendar people's birthdays. I calendar 1 year from the worst day of their life. And I give them a call back. It'd be such mm-hmm. a great thing when people crater or something horrible happens. Just wait a year and visit them. You don't have to remind them about the horrible thing, but to tell them how far they've come. Mm-hmm. Like, look at this. Because at the time, you know, all seemed lost. The worst day of my friend Heather's life was when her husband, who was one of the, you know, high up guys in Starbucks, the guy that invented the Frappuccino, the guy that invented Via coffee, Don Valencia, when he passed away. And on the 1 year anniversary, the worst day in her life, I wrote her a story about her courageous husband and how he just wasn't afraid to fail. He dealt with failures like they were the biggest wins. Ever. And so I gave that to her because I got I Don't Get It from Thomas Nelson and I didn't have another story. We put that in. Mm-hmm. I just called Heather and say, can we make that a chapter? That's my favorite chapter because it reminds me of this, like, I've just gotten past myself. I'm a lawyer. I win arguments for a living, but I'm not trying to argue with people anymore. Uh-huh. That's a change that's happening inside me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's one of the things, as I've read your book and heard you speak, that I have really loved is just the simple and real way that you live your life. And it really is just so refreshing. I think that's the word that I think of when I think about you, is just that refreshing. And so one of the questions I have for you, you love people so differently than most of the world. And so how much of that do you think is the way God made you? And how much of that has been a conscious decision to live differently?
Oh, I would say it's a combination plate of the way that we're each wired, but then the intentionality, this idea of living with purpose and this idea of loving everybody, but starting with the people who creep you out.
Yeah.
Because if you want a report card on your faith, just see how you're treating the people that you disagree with the most. You guys would be low-hanging fruit. Like, loving you, that'd be easy.
Right.
Nothing to it. But find somebody who actually is really difficult to love, and then to love them without an agenda. Don't say, I'm going to love them, and so then they'll become a Christian. Be like, because Jesus didn't do that. Because when love has an agenda, it ain't love anymore. It's a program. Mm-hmm. And so just love people and start with the people who creep you out. And so I've got, I tried death penalty cases against witch doctors who sacrificed children. I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
But this idea of loving my enemy, and I started a school for witch doctors. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
We don't teach them how to be witch doctors. They already know. But what we teach them how to do is to read and write. And the only books we have in witch doctor school are the Bible and Love Does. There's 250 witch doctors right now learning how to read and write, and that's their source material. And so when it came to writing this new book, everybody always about like loving people who creep you out, they sent me all these hokey like Christian covers with people making hearts over their head at concerts. I'm like, oh, heck no. I flew to Uganda to our witch doctor school, and I had them use their fingerprints to make the cover. Is that creepy?
Wow.
But the whole idea,
man,
I've spent my whole life avoiding the people Jesus spent his whole life engaging. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to learn how to love people the way Jesus did, they are going to be my teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's great.
So tell us a little bit about your transformation, how God changed your heart. When in your life did God change your heart and call you to him? And what did that look like?
Well, at some point I just decided I wasn't going to be Jesus' lawyer anymore. When people say things that are differ from scripture, I'm not going to point a bony finger at them. What I'll do, it'll drive me back to scripture. It'll do what Paul said, to just check this stuff against scripture. And if it doesn't conform with what the rigorous demands of scripture say, I don't like try to be Jesus's lawyer to them. I just am so focusing on my page, how I'm going to do that, and then how can I engage them more? How can I just love them? But not love them with an agenda, just love them. I just to see them is on a different part of the trail than me. I don't know if they're ahead of me or behind me. The problem sometimes is we can still hear them. And that's what you got to work on. Like the people that you're giving the microphone to in your life. I'm not looking for the loudest voice. I'm looking for the truest voice. I'm not trying to tell people how they've got it all wrong, because I think the Holy Spirit does that. And I'm no theologian, but like just over and over again in scripture, you see God whispering to people And he doesn't always call the brightest and best. I would be Exhibit A. He gets all these fishermen, and they always get the nets on the wrong side of the boat. And they say, we're going to be the 12. He calls 12 guys, and one of his Sunday school guys goes rogue on him. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Peter doesn't even say that even know him. None of the 11 that are left even like know who he is. And he goes like, oh, guys. And so that gives me a lot of comfort. So I sometimes when I hear, you know, this really high level conversation about things, that's terrific if you want a textbook. But I actually want the guy at the tire store. Mm-hmm. I just want this person that's felt tremendously wounded or alienated to know they're welcome back.
That's good. So you, well, Bob, one of the values that we hold at Fellowship Bible Church before our church is multiplication, helping other people follow Jesus, right? So as a lawyer, how do you see those two things playing together in your life each day?
Oh, yeah. I just think of the Acts 2 and 4. They broke mm-hmm. bread together and mm-hmm. they had things in common. So I'm just trying to have more things in common with people. You know, like if I found people who are knocking off liquor stores, I probably wouldn't join them in that. But people that are just trying to figure out life, I'm like, we could have that in common. And so this idea, that's why thousands were added to their number daily, mm-hmm. because they were people that just said, like, let's like break bread together. Let's do it. Find people that see things differently. And you don't have to do the angsty version of that. Like, you get to decide who you are. I just put a bunch of balloons on the cover and pulled all the Bible verses out. Because if we just say true things, that would be it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want a Bible verse, read the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's full of them. But mm-hmm. what if you and I, the three of us, just say things that are true? Almost like the beautiful corollary to that movie, Liar, Liar. Be just like, just truth, truth. Just say true stuff. And you know what I found? I say a lot less.
Wow, yeah.
Because if I don't know if it's true, then I don't say it. Mm. Like any tweet that you say, my version has the scripture I pulled that from. But I'm not trying to convince. Again, I want the guy at the tire store. Not my idea again, just Jesus saying that actually the celebration that happens when one person that's felt far away. So I just want to say, what's the simplest, most accurate way I can say things? And I love that we're all different. You mm-hmm. know, some people wear tweed jackets and leather patches and stroke their beard and like sound like a professor. And that's awesome. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so glad mm-hmm. and so wildly different than me. And so I'm not letting that bug me. And then he's not letting me bug him. And then let's just go do our thing.
Right.
That's great. Last night, Bob, you shared with our teenagers, our high school students, and our young adults at a coffee that we had after Dwell. And one of the things that you talked about in there is just always having a curiosity.
Yes.
And I have two teenage daughters who are in the room, and there were several things actually that you said to them that I just thought were really encouraging for them as they're kind of taking those next steps in life. And so can you just talk a little bit about that? Because I think your curiosity is a lot of what drives the way that you love people.
Yeah, that would be it for all of us. I mean, mm-hmm. this whole idea to stay engaged. Do you know you can pet a bee on its back when it's drinking water and it won't sting you?
Oh, wow.
Isn't that terrific? Yeah. You can hypnotize a chicken.
Wait, say that again.
You can pet a bee on its back when it's drinking water and it won't sting you. All Isn't right. that crazy? And so I'm just like curious about things. And here's the deal. If you're curious about everything, you'll be curious about your faith.
Uh-huh.
You'll want to know. You won't read scripture like it's a homework assignment. You'll just want like, I'm like really curious about that. Mm-hmm. And I don't accept all the really complicated answers that are in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. I just am trying to understand it. Like
Who is this Jesus? Why did he do the things he's doing?
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's like, so why do you do what you do? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we'll talk about when we're in the main session. Why do you do what you do? Because
mm-hmm.
If you figure out why do you do, if you grew up in a family, for instance, where there was a lot of yelling that was going on, and now you're all grown up and you walk by a television, there's a show on and somebody's yelling, and you just, every button gets pressed, you're not reacting to the television, you're reacting to your life. So understanding why you do what you do. Some people that are like very insecure or very loud or very, and again, not getting in this eddy of introspection, but to just dwell on that just a little bit and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But some people have been deeply wounded and it's really painful to go back to those things. I would say find a buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I took my son on the Nile River, and there's class 5 rapids. There's no such thing as a class 6 rapids. You're just dead. And so we went off this cliff with water on it, and he popped out of the boat. Well, we got stuck in an eddy at the bottom of the thing, and he kept going. We didn't find him for an hour.
Oh, wow. Like, dang.
I'm making up, like, the stories to tell my wife. I'm like, did he come with us?
Oh,
let's make another one. Yeah. So we find him hanging from a mangrove in these like alligator infested waters. But the way we got there is we got out of the eddy. We paddled into the fast moving water again. Mm-hmm. And some people in our faith communities have been tremendously wounded. And so they're stuck in either an eddy of safety or of self-reflection, and all that can be beautiful for a while, but at some point we need to get back in the fast-moving water.
That's a really
good picture. If we're
going
to actually go find this younger version of us, it was like Matthew 17, that's their argument about who gets the big seat next to Jesus. And he says, unless you change and become like a child, because you'll never understand who I am. And so for some of us, I think we need to go downstream and find that 8-year-old version of us, like, because it's probably hanging from a root somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
I just
really
want to get back in the game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If the more authentic we get with our faith, with our friends, more real we get, the less it matters what your faith looks like, the more it matters what it is, then we've got a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what that would be, this clarion call that it's not coming from me, but from so many wise voices to just get back to the real you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a question, Bob, that's really on my mind for that I've been wanting to ask you ever since I read your book. Why did you put your phone number in the book?
Oh, isn't that fun?
And do you really get people calling you?
Oh, I get 50 calls a day. I'll get one before we're done. Like, literally, I can't get a thing done. It's terrific. What I was noticing is that Jesus was just extraordinarily available. And that doesn't make me Jesus, doesn't make either of you, but we get to be like him. So if you see the characteristics, when it was availability, and people don't follow vision, they follow availability. And so what if we just decide to be the most available? You can't decide to be the smartest person in the room. You just got what you got.
Right.
All 3 watts.
Yep.
that's what I bring to the game every day. But I can be the most available person. And you know who I learned that from? There was a fellow that died way before his time. It was Keith Green. Remember the musician?
Yes. Yep.
I wrote him a letter in college. He wrote back to me 3 sentences. I don't even know what the 3 sentences were, but I felt so seen, so like acknowledged. I get 250 emails a day. Everybody gets 3 sentences. And they're not the same 3 sentences, but I just remember what that felt like to get it right away. And so that idea of availability to actually acknowledge people. I think we had to board up every green room ever. Like, we don't need these things. If you don't want to be around people, I mean, like, you're going to hate heaven. Talk about everybody always, right?
Yeah.
So the whole idea of just being available to people, we ought to be washing cars and giving non-creepy hugs and just be available to people.
Yeah, and you're serious about this too, because I've heard stories of you actually answering your phone while you're speaking at a conference on stage.
Yeah, but oftentimes these days now, people know that, so they'll call me from the conference. I'm like, I know who you are.
I know you're in the audience.
That's
right
awesome.
Now. That's good.
But they're everywhere from, like, there was a guy who just got married. And he called me, like, we're on our honeymoon. I'm like, buddy, hang up the phone.
That's good.
I got a couple words for you, brother. And then, but somebody else, like, in a really desperate time and in a car with a weapon, and they had just come to the end. And so while we were visiting, I had a friend get a hold of the people that can intervene on there, and we stayed on the phone. And so just you don't know who might call, and if we just are just excessively available. And then people will say, well, but Jesus went across to find a quiet place of rest. I'm like, I get it. Answer the phone anyway.
Yeah.
There's something beautiful because it'll keep you grounded in your faith. If you continue to ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because if you want a bunch of applause, join the circus. But if you want Jesus, I'd say be available.
When you were talking there about heaven, you said a phrase, everybody always.
Is that
the name of your new book?
Close, yeah, that's
is
it.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, I just, somebody asked me if I was watering down the gospel. I'm like, oh, I hope so. I just want to make it for people who are thirsty. Uh-huh. I want to say true things that find every single basis in Scripture, but I want it for the people who are thirsty. But I don't, if you keep telling people they're thirsty when they're not, they won't know who to come to mm-hmm. when they are. Mm-hmm. So that's what they were doing in Guantanamo Bay. They were waterboarding people. Mm-hmm. They're like, you're thirsty. I'm like, no, I'm not. And so one of the things I want to do is just say true things. Know why I'm saying what I'm saying. Know the basis, like page and verse in Scripture. Not to like demonstrate to people you know what a bunch of Bible verses are, but to know what you're saying is true. Mm-hmm. And feeling the responsibility. That's Paul to Timothy. Like the three of us were teachers. I wouldn't self-describe that way, but we are. And you say, don't be loose on doctrine. And the most orthodox doctrine I can think of is to love everybody always and start with the people that creep you out.
Yeah.
Because that's where we grow.
I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah. So, Bob, you will have yet to go on stage here at the Dwell Conference. You'll be doing that a little bit later today. What does it mean to you to dwell?
Oh, it's in no scripture. I'm just such a Bible guy. But you wouldn't think that. You'd be like, but the Bible guy that doesn't use a bunch of Bible verses for everything. But I just think if we know the authority of Scripture in our life, you just know. Wouldn't it be silly if when the three of us met, I said, hi, I'm Bob, and I gave you my driver's license. I said, I'm married to sweet Maria, and I gave you my like marriage certificate. You'd be like, dude, we're good. Yeah. And so just know that like I can drive, but I don't need to prove it. Yeah. No scripture. That's Mark 12. The problem that you have is that you don't know the scriptures, so you haven't experienced the power of God. Mm. And so I've stopped approaching reading scripture like a homework assignment. I just want to like understand this stuff so I can say true things, because I think at the end of the day, we're going to meet with Jesus, and we are not going to be singing Chris Tomlin songs. We're going to be talking about the things we were talking about here to say, are they actually true. Not do they turn people's heads, not did that make you popular, but is it actually true? But yet, we can do it in a really kind way. Mm-hmm. I think that kind voice, I think that's what appeals to me. And we're each, everybody has a different way that they communicate, but I think the kind voices have been the ones that have influenced me the most.
Mm. That's good. One of the inspirations, even while Aaron Keyes was speaking last night, is how he jumps back and forth through Scripture and has Scripture come to mind on every single thing he's saying. He knows Scripture. We can tell that his life is real and dwelling with God.
Isn't that awesome?
Because he knows Scripture.
And you can tell Jesus didn't have 3x5 cards. He didn't make slick speeches. He had conversations with people. Matthew 13 said he never spoke to anybody without telling him a story. Can you imagine going to dinner with him and they have that awkward day where all 12 are sitting on the same side of the table? And he says like to Jesus, like, can you pass the salt? And he's like, you know about salt. They're like, no, Peter, help a brother out. Thomas is like, I doubt it. But if you actually, this idea of knowing Scripture and then entering in to the fast moving water of Scripture and just say like, oh, where does that go to? And if following Jesus doesn't lead us to creepy people, people that aren't like us, then we're not following Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to be comfortable. I'm not trying to be comfortable anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, Bob, we really appreciate having you here at Fellowship for Dwell and here on Fellowship Talks for our podcast.
Yeah, so thanks a million. Thanks for what you're doing. And for the people listening, just can think about that. Everybody around you wants from you love and connection and purpose, and they want you to be authentic. Mm-hmm. So just be the real you. Just throw the old fake you on the bus. Just real you. And then you can actually do some business with Jesus.
Mm. Those are such good words of encouragement. Thank you so much.
And Amy, even as we walk into Dwell today, and as our listeners are listening to this here on Wednesday after Dwell, just want to remind you of the theme verse that we have for Dwell, Psalms 27:4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Oh, that we may know the Lord, right, Amy? Mm-hmm. That we may know him in all his scriptures and for who he really is, and it may impact our life as we love other people. So, Fellowship, until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.